been engulfed by the terror of tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before you roll. At the end of doubt and peril is eternity. Though fear and conflict seize your weary soul, but just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory and finding it home. When surrounded by the blackness of the darkest night, oh, how lonely death can be. At the end of this long tunnel is a shining light, for death is swallowed up in victory. But just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory and finding it home.
Yes, amen. Amen. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, waking up in heaven, finding its home. What a blessing that is. As I mentioned already, Pastor Johnson's coming to preach for us today. It is Thanksgiving time, and as I mentioned already, I don't know if we could sit down and eat a Thanksgiving meal without hearing the Thanksgiving feast, and he'll be preaching as well. And so we appreciate Pastor Miss Johnson very much. And if you don't know already, but they started the church in August 7th, 1983, and invested 40 years serving as pastoring, pastor's wife at the church, and still serving and working here as well, traveling and preaching. And we appreciate you very much. Thank you for your faithfulness, your service. Would you come and preach for us this morning, please?
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Now, before we get into the... Oh, no. Oh, really? Throw money, no coins. All right, good. There we go. Before we get into the message this morning, there is a tradition in our church, almost 40 years now, where I prepare you for the Thanksgiving meal. Now, to our visitors, guests, and first-timers, this is about as irreverent as it's going to get around here, so you just have to bear with us for a few minutes. Now, before we get to the Thanksgiving meal, let's do some business this morning. First of all, there are certain words we are not going to use over these next few weeks, or phrases. Word number one, diet. If you take the T off of diet, you understand how dangerous this could be. For those of you who don't know how to spell, it spells diet, okay? So no dieting from now till about January 15th. So just knock it off, eat. See, Brother Johnson, aren't you concerned about gluttony? Gluttony is overeating by accident. Whatsoever thy hand findeth, put it in thy mouth. It's in Ecclesiastes, I think that's right. But anyway, the other phrase we do not want to hear is cage-free turkeys. Now, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. How cruel can you be? Let a turkey wander around, scratching the dirt, eating a few grasshoppers. Then you're going to cut his head off, rip out his feathers, tear out his guts, and shove him full of wet bread and eat him anyhow. I think it's cruel. You get his hopes up. Don't get the boy's hopes up. It's ridiculous. No cage. Okay, the other word is tofurkey. Now, that is a turkey made out of soy. You see, but it looks like a turkey. God already made something that looks like a turkey. It's called a turkey. you don't eat soy turkey. No. The other word is organic. Okay, we're not concerned about organic. Look at me. I don't care if you flooded your backyard and made your own cranberry bog and then harvested your own cranberries and then brought them out and mashed them with your little bare naked feet and then made a special recipe. I want cranberry sauce shaped like a can. You understand that? So let's get off the organic thing. Was this organic? We don't care. The last word is this, salad. Now, Jell-O salad and that kind of salad stuff, that's okay. But look at me, people. Leaves. You want to put out a light salad with a vinaigrette dressing on it? Are you serious? Now, varnish it, use it for decoration, but don't put a green salad on the table there. If you want to color, use green beans, but make sure you put enough bacon in there to kill the green bean taste. Okay, so there's just certain words we're not, okay, those are the things we're not going to talk about. But, you know, there's something about Thanksgiving because it's, by the way, we are 11 days ahead of schedule. Normally we do this the week right before Thanksgiving. So you got 11 days to build the momentum up. People look at me, don't get off this carrot sticks and fresh water thing. Right? Just start eating now. Prepare. Don't go into Thanksgiving Day with a shrunken stomach. You don't want to do that. You'll pull a muscle or something. So don't do that. Go ahead and eat now and enjoy yourself. See, you want one of these right here is what you want. You have to understand something. See, but Brother Johnson, what's wrong with that? Well, I was using one of those ab crunchers that gives you a six-pack abs, and I found out I was doing it backwards, and it shoved it all out in the front. But I got a six-pack going up my back. It's unbelievable. I'm going to show it to you this morning. But the truth is, here's the deal. I mean, but it's not good to be overweight. I'm not overweight. I'm just short. My weight's too much for my height is what it is. Gravity catches up with you after a while. There's 122 verses in the Bible on fat. Not one on skinny. That says something about being... This is biblical, brother. Let me tell you that right now. That's Bible right there. Okay, good. Fine. So I don't think you should look like that. I don't think you should look like what you look like either. So that's all good. So you wake up in the morning, you smell roast turkey. There's something about the aroma of roast turkey. You know, it has tryptophan in the turkey that kind of mellows you out and that kind of stuff. We draw and inject our kids with it. But the truth is, you get that aroma smelling, and then they got a ham baking at the same time. Now, good ham. Now, when them nasty chunk hams come out of a can, I'm talking a good ham now. Virginia sugar-cured ham. This is not when you want to go there and get slices of ham and warm them up. You want a ham where you got the glaze on the outside of it, you know, and you cut the crisscross pattern and put the pineapple slice in the crisscross with the maraschino cherry and little cloves dotting around on the ham that looks like, you know, Hamas terrorists Israel caught out in the desert. You know what I mean? One of those deals. You want one of those kind of hams. And you get them both baking, you get the aroma of the ham and the turkey at the same time. Maybe you bake your turkey. Maybe you deep fry your turkey. If you've never had a deep fried turkey, you should try that sometime. And then there is the smoked turkey, but I never could do that because it wouldn't stay lit. But the truth of the matter is, you get that aroma, it kind of starts the day. And then it starts, can I ask you a question? What is up with eating the meal at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? What other meal do you eat at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? You have to wait all day long to get to that. And you say, but you shouldn't overeat. It's the turkey's fault. And I'll show you why. Watch me. What does a turkey say? Ready? 1, 2, 3. See, that's it right there. It's the turkey's fault. They're in there prepping, getting everything ready to go, making mashed potatoes big enough to fill the back of a 56 Buick, and then you got the sweet potatoes and the yams, right? Am I preaching to a church this morning? I said, we got sweet potatoes and the yams this morning. Okay, just making sure you're still with me. And you put the marshmallows on top of it and put a little crust on it where you kind of like, ooh, oh yeah. Then you can have, like I say, green beans if you got bacon in there to kill the green bean taste. Maybe some corn and stuff like that. Now, ladies, bear with me. We do not care about decorations. Men do not care. I have never been to a Thanksgiving dinner where a guy walked in and said, look at the turkeys on that table. They never do that. They never do that. Could care less. You could put a sawhorse out there with a sheet of 4x8 plywood on it and put the food on it. And a guy could care. The food is the issue. So if you get, you know, I need a little paper turkey with my name on it. I know where I'm going to sit. You don't have to give me a name thing yet. So forgive us if we don't comment on the decorations and the floral arrangements and the leaves. And unless you spray paint the salad and put varnish on a stick in the middle, we might comment on that. Yeah, that's a good thing for the salad right there. Then they get everything ready and prepped and going. You got bread and rolls and you got, and then then you got stuffing for the turkey. I always thought, who was the first person who ever saw a turkey and said, I think I'll kill that thing, rip off his hide, stuff his cavity full of wet bread and shove him in the oven and eat him? Who's the first dude who ever thought of that? Who's the first person who saw a cow and go, see them things down there? I'm going to squeeze them, whatever comes out, I'm going to drink that right there. Who's the first person who saw a chicken lay an egg and go, I wonder what that tastes like? I mean, have you ever thought about the first? Who's the first person to pull a lobster out of the ocean and said, what does this giant water spatter taste like? Okay. Back to the meal. So we got the food going. You set the table. Everybody gets around the table, and it's time, you know, you put the table. Please, do not ask somebody who hasn't prayed since last year to pray. But I have a device with me this morning that will help you to speed them up if they pray those long prayers. Huh? You just stand next to them, and if they do that, you go, it nukes them. Then they get going. The best thing is just ask a five-year-old, dear Jesus, thank you for this food. It's over with. Then you get to dinner, and you can start eating. So the idea is gather around the table, and you don't want to hold hands and have 22 people say what they're thankful for. 2 minutes a pop, that's 44 minutes. Before, and somebody's going to go long. They always go long. I'm thankful for green grass and trees with leaves and all this kind of junk. Or they start talking about their puppy dog, and I don't care about your stinking puppy dog. It's time to eat. All right, do you want to do all the thankful stuff? Email it. The truth is, we're going to pray. All right, we prayed. All right, now we're going to sit down at the table, and it's time to eat. Now, the problem pops up almost immediately with something that happens. Let me get this out here. This thing about the plates. They see this right here? The turkey gets this. Can I ask you a question? Why does he get the best plate? He's dead. No turkey ever looked down and go, nice plate. They don't do that. They give you these little squirrely plates that you can, no wonder we have to keep going back and getting more food. There's hardly any room on the plate. They give you two forks, a big fork and a little fork. See, that's a salad fork. We don't do salad, remember? So I figure the big fork is for your good hand, the little fork's for your weak one. And when the big one gives out and the blood is not there, you just kind of drop it and you keep going with the other hand. You keep working on that. So I get the two fork thing. But let's do this. Look at me. Let's give the turkey a 2x4 or something. And then let's give us one of these plates. Now, you ladies won't want one of these, but the guys would love it to sit down at the table and see an actual decent plate that has a little well in it to hold gravy and everything else. You build a little Shasta Dam reservoir over here on the side and fill it with gravy. You put stuffing in there. I always put my stuffing in my gravy and that kind of thing. You got corn, a little corn in there maybe for color, whatever. I don't know. And you got your turkey and your ham and your bacon and everything else over here. And then you got your sweet potatoes and all that. And you got some rolls that are ready to eat. And then you get your fork out and you start eating. And as soon as you run that fork down through the mashed potatoes into the gravy, grab some stuffing and start heading towards your mouth, your taste buds stand at attention. They're ready to go. And you put it in your mouth and then you realize, oh, that's just one bite. How long do you eat? Well, let me see. The question is, it used to be anyway that you ate until, by the way, you like my case? I carry my case with me everywhere I go. Used to be you ate until, you know, you were satisfied. Well, I'm a Baptist. That doesn't really happen. Or you ate until your gut cut your stomach, the blood flow off to your legs. Or you couldn't see across the table. Or you got so much you couldn't reach the table anymore. You got pushed back. But then, and I got a spoon that goes with it. Look at that. Now you can almost eat from the living room. I mean, really. The key is, watch, the key is people are eating, and then after a while you see somebody put something on their plate you didn't get, and you go, is that a cockroach? And you reach over to their table, and then you get some food like that. So you eat until you're basically either satisfied, content, or under conviction for the fact that you ate way too much. Then you get up and you go to the living room and you just kind of stagger into the living room and you sit down to watch football. Football, not a parade, football. Football, not soccer, because we don't play soccer. They call it football, but that's cheating because it's not football. It's soccer. kicking the ball on the grass with shorts. Football, American football. You go sit in the living room, okay? Ugh. And that's what this is for. Look at me. See that? That's like a personal TV tray. You put the remote over here and a Coke or something over here. Coke, not Pepsi. Not Pepsi. I said not Pepsi. I said not, never mind. And you just kind of sit there and go, and about that time they go, dessert. You go, oh yeah, here we go. All right, here we go, dessert. And they get up and go, and then they give you that little plate. That's what that's for. And you load it up with pie and ice cream and whipped cream and nuts and a cherry and that kind of thing. And then you eat that. And about 6 o'clock, you order pizza. Luke chapter 17, please. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. See, I don't appreciate laughing in church. Well, people laugh at you all the time. Don't worry about it. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11 this morning. As you find that and are able, would you stand, please? Luke 17 and verse 11. We do want to give you something on being thankful this morning. Pastor preached on Thanksgiving, being thankful last week. Don't you, look at me, don't you, every time you hear a message about being thankful, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? I'm not as thankful as I ought to be. That probably one of the great sins of society is ingratitude. My wife and I call it peeving. We peeve about stuff. We're still fussing about the circle over by Costco. And all the idiots who still can't figure out how that circle thing works. There's a couple of people over there who are still driving around in the circle because they don't know what to do. They can't get out of there. We're still peeving about traffic and about stuff. And we call it peeving. It's another word for complaining. But come on, people, look at me. Do you realize what a sin ingratitude is? In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, it starts giving in Romans 1, it gives this list of how a nation and a people start out knowing God, and how they end up in debauchery, where open wickedness is condoned, expected, legalized, and required. How does that happen? Well, there's a whole list of things. In Romans 1 to the end of the chapter, there's a whole list of things that lead this, what I call the devolution of man. And you know what's on the top of that list? Neither were they thankful. So whenever I hear a message about thankfulness, and a Thanksgiving type message where we set aside a time as a nation, this Thanksgiving thing was really born out of the Civil War. After it was over, Abraham Lincoln wanted our nation to be a thankful people. He started declaring a national time of Thanksgiving, then it became a national holiday. This whole thing isn't really just about a meal and family and that sort of stuff, and that's all wonderful. But whenever it comes around, I always think, I really haven't been as thankful as I ought to be. Now, maybe it's just me, and I'll preach to myself this morning. I'm sure you woke up this morning, opened your eyes, and thanked God for life and breath and health in your body. I'm sure you woke up this morning, the first thing you thought of was how good God is and how much you thanked Him for your life, health, strength, a roof over your head. Do you realize, people look at me, do you realize if you have a dollar in your pocket, see this, you are wealthier than more wealthy than 73% of the people of this world. And what we give thanks for, well, that's another subject, of course. But what is it about us being unthankful? Why do we lack the attitude of gratitude? What are the reasons for a lack of thanksgiving, and what's the remedy for it? Well, look in Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now remember, Samaria is that area, that region that the Jews hated them and the Samaritans hated the Jews. But he's going through that region. And as he entered into a certain village, verse 12, there met 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Look at this statement, verse 14. Look. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Verse 16, and fell down on his face at his feet. Look at this, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Father, bless now this morning, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. In that passage this morning, I want you to keep your Bibles open. In that passage this morning is the reason for our lack of thanksgiving, and it's the remedy also. Yeah, well, you know, Brother Johnson, we should be more thankful. That's a nice pass-the-buck statement. The truth is, look at me, people. There's something wrong with people in this nation under the God of heaven, with a local church to go to, a family, a Bible. Oh, watch me now. And salvation, who shouldn't just be rivers of thankfulness. But we have Thanksgiving comes around. We hear messages like Pastor preached last week on being thankful, and we're reminded, man, I'm not being thankful like I should. Quick to complain, slow to show gratitude. Quick to find fault, slow to show gratitude. We just saw that in the recent election. We get all these Hollywood people who are saying they're going to leave America. I say pay for their ticket. But the truth of the matter is, it's fascinating to me how people just don't seem to be able to be expressive of their gratitude in any way, shape, or form. Why is that? Okay, here are 10 men who are lepers. Now listen to me. In this day, today, you can cure leprosy with an antibiotic. It's called Hansen's disease. In that day, that was a death sentence. And you weren't going to die. You're going to die a horrible, slow, painful death. Your extremities were going to start to fall off, and your fingers, your toes, and it was slowly going to eat your body until it got to something vital, and it would kill you. These are 10 dead men, and they can't live with their family anymore. They're ostracized. They're put out. Anywhere they would go, they had to cover their mouth with a cloth, and they would see someone come, and they'd yell, unclean! Unclean! And people would run from them. These are dead men. They have no hope, but they heard Jesus, the healer, is there. And as he passed by, he just happened to pass by. Jesus never happened to pass by anybody or anything at any time, but he just happened to pass by. They heard it, and they were standing, the Bible says, a great way off. And they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. In some cases, Jesus would heal people by touching them. In their case, he just said, go show yourselves to the priest. Well, the Old Testament cleansing ritual was once you were clear of leprosy, you had to present yourself to the priest. He would have to examine you, and then you could go back to your family and life. He heals 10 men. Go show yourselves to the priest. They turned, the Bible said, and as they went, this foot never touched the ground before that leprosy was gone from their bodies. You talk about instantaneous, miraculous cure. It's kind of like, look at me, it's kind of like you and I. Leprosy is a type of sin in the Bible. We are all dead men under the condemnation of sin. You cry out to Jesus Christ for your hope of salvation. Not just prayer, you cry out to Jesus to save your soul. And the moment that you do, he says, you show yourself to the priest. Who's that? That's Jesus. The healer is the one who gives you the right to come to God. And accepting Christ as your Savior, you have salvation immediately. Look at me. Look at me. No working at it. No working on it. No working it up. No. The moment you trust Christ as your Savior, you are saved. Baptism won't save you. Church membership won't save you. Good works won't save you. Nothing will save you but a simple repentance of faith. Turn to Christ and accept him as your Savior. It's that simple. And as they turned, the Bible said, and as they went, the Bible said, they were cleansed. 9 men, boom, are making a beeline for the temple. They're going to get their clearance to get on with their life. Jesus had just in a moment cured what could not be cured by anybody on the planet, not in their day. And by the way, Jesus is the only one that can save you today. The only one. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." They've got their cleansing, and as they go, they look down and they're amazed. The rags that the lepers wore and things like that. You'd walk along a path and there would be a post along a, lepers had their own paths. They had their own creeks. They had their own life. And you go along a leper path and there'd be a post or a limb and there'd be a rag hanging from it. Because at certain points, leprosy breaks the skin and it oozes a pussy stuff on it. And they would stop at that rag and wipe it off their faces and hang it back on the rag and then go on to the next. And then the next leper would come along, take the same rag and wipe his sores with it and hang it on that post. Isaiah says, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's what he's talking about, the leper rag. It's disgusting to think someone would take that. It's disgusting to think someone would take the filthy rags of their own righteousness and shove it up in the face of God, that somehow or another that earns them the right to go to heaven. No, 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 no. All our righteousness, not sin even, our righteousness is as filthy rags. And they turn and go. And they look down and their skin is clear. And they say, "We're healed." And they head to the priest. But the Bible says one of those men, when he saw what Jesus did, stopped, turned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and went and fell down at Jesus' feet and gave him thanks. Do you see the reason we lack thanksgiving? Because we take for granted what God has done for us. These nine, ladies and gentlemen, they're healed instantly. Somebody, more than, that's why Jesus said, where are the nine? Weren't 10 guys healed here? He's looking at this thinking, wait a minute, you got your fire insurance and now you're moving on, right? Look at me, I'm sick and tired of hearing people who have salvation, know Christ as their Savior, and they have no concern about their life, the way they live, what they do, where they go. It means nothing to them, but they have, well, then they obviously don't have salvation. I question it, but I'll tell you what, you trust Christ as your Savior, you get saved. God seals you, God secures you, God keeps you in that salvation, but he didn't give you a license to go live the way you want it. Well, I'm saved, but I'm living in sin. I'm saved, but I'm living the way I want. I'm saved, but, oh, that's the nine guys running off. They got their life. Now they're going to do what they want to with their lives. This one man, when he saw, they all saw what Jesus did, but this guy did more than just see it. The other nine, they're taking for granted what Jesus has done for them. Let me ask you a question this morning, church. Now, come on. We're in church so you can get away with it. But did you thank him today? Somewhere in your worship and your walk with God, child of God, there better be a time of thankfulness. That's what worship is. Worship isn't calling off all the names of the Japanese automobiles, you know. Kawasaki, Kia, Honda, 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 Honda. No, 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 no. You know what worship is? Worship is spending time and thanking God for his grace, his mercy, his goodness, his salvation, the word of God, Jesus. The fact I'm alive, I got health in my body, I got a roof over my head, I got clothes on my back, I got a cabinet with some groceries in it, thanking God for his goodness. But see, we go day by day. Brother Turner was talking about it again in class this morning, our senior saints class. I love that class. Number one, I don't have to teach it. Number two, no, I missed that part. But number two, he's talking about noticing, did you notice the trees? There's trees out there, people. And it's not a video game. It's not an app on your phone. Hear me? The majesty of the work of God this time of year. And we don't have the stuff like they do back east and then that kind of, we don't have it to the degree that they do. But I tell you what, it seems like this fall God has taken the brush of his omnipotence and painted a masterpiece. Yeah, there are trees with leaves on them. Yeah, that's your problem. First of all, you have sight to see it. How'd you like to live in the southern part of Israel right now? There ain't a tree left in that place. They have just about burned it to the ground and blown everything up. Now, there you go. You're going to start making me feel bad. Well, we should feel bad to live in a place like we live, have the life that we have, and not be thankful for it. And take it for granted. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's still great. Put that in there now, and not just sometimes, every day of your life. Put that in there, thankfulness. Because God help us. Now, I'll tell you what, we always say it, boy, you don't appreciate something till it's gone. We never thank him for health until it's gone. We never thank him for life until something comes our way. Just to recount the blessings of God. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed. When you are discouraged thinking all is lost. Count your many Democrats. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you how stupid these people are. Anyway, they had just been healed. And I'm a guest, so don't get mad, okay? I'll be gone the next couple of weeks, so you don't have to put up with me. You know why? The reason for our unthankfulness is we take what God's done for granted. Make it a habit. It's really a test of your character. Come on, we teach our children, it's please to get it and thank you to keep it, right? Please tell me you do that. This, you know, give me something, brother. Yeah, well, this ain't a restaurant, Spanky, so let's get this straight now. What would you like to have? Now, we teach our children that as good manners and behavior, which you don't see a lot nowadays, but it's still out there. Can you imagine the God of heaven, our heavenly Father, who wouldn't mind hearing a thank you every now and then? The reason for lack of thankfulness, we take for granted what God's done for us. The reason for lack of thankfulness, number two, is this. We joined the crowd. There were nine who took off and one who came back. Well, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? I seem to find out nowadays in our lives that the people who really are mannered, behaviored, have some decorum about them. That's not wallpaper. Decorum about them. I mean, they actually have some conduct. They actually act like they weren't raised by wolves. Seems like there's very few of them. So what are we going to do? We're going to get caught up in that selfish society out there? Look at me. We're going to let them dictate my thankfulness, my appreciation. Well, you just can't say thank you for everything. Why not? I'm in a restaurant, I order something, they bring it, I say thank you. They ask to refill my cup with a Coke, Diet Coke, Coke Zero, Diet Dr. Pepper, no Pepsi. You can't even say it masculine, Pepsi. You're denigrating your hormones when you drink Pepsi. I'm just telling you that right now. They bring me a drink, I say thank you. They bring me a refill, I say thank you. They bring me a bill. I said, hey, no, but all right, fine. I don't think I've ever said thank you for, well, I have too, come think of it. Thank you for the bill. Then I handed it to whoever we had lunch with. But the truth is, the deal, no, look at me. The world today is an unthankful world. We do all sorts of things to help people who basically just want to know what else you're going to do for me. That's wrong. Look at me. That's what's wrong with this gimme society. People sitting around waiting on God to show up the 1st and the 15th of the month, who could, if they had any kind of conduct and behavior about them, would get off their rusty behind and go get a job. Yeah, that goes over like a ham sandwich at a Jewish picnic. I'm not talking about helping people now, helping people who can't work or whatever. I'm saying that. I'm talking about people who can and won't because somebody's going to pay for their life. That's wicked. I haven't done this in a while, so just stay with me. But the truth of the matter is, but you're going to join the crowd? My wife and I were walking last night, yesterday afternoon, walking on, we're looking at the leaves and everything, and I have to just be looking down, because when you're old, you have to watch where you're going. You used to be able to just walk. Now, this is a trip to the hospital to get a hip repair, so I got to watch where I'm going. And there was a $10 bill laying in the gutter. Yeah. Merry stinking Christmas, Jack. Right in front of our neighbor's house. I figured it must be his. So I picked it up, went to the door, knocked on the door, said, hey, this $10 bill was laying in the gutter. The guy goes, thanks, and he took it. He didn't say it was his. See, most of society could care less if you rip somebody off. So most of society doesn't care if you're honest, tell the truth. Hey, do what's right. Most of society doesn't care because most of society lives like that. We ain't going over there, folks. You understand that? We're not going that route. Yeah, we're unthankful because we're just joining the crowd. They don't care. They don't want to be thankful. They want to do that. And I know you say, but Brother Johnson, I mean, you look like Mr. Rogers, you know, saying thank you for everything and thank you for this and thank you for that. Well, too stinking bad. I don't want to be in that crowd that lives their life. And have you noticed how happy those unthankful people are? They're so happy. Give me that. I want to have this. A lady and her teen daughter showed up here several years back and wanted some help with something. I'll help women and their kids. When I look out in the car and there's a guy sitting in the car, won't help him. You get out of the car and come in here and ask if you need some help. I ain't doing that kind of junk. But they were sitting there and I said, well, I'm sorry, I don't. I said, honestly, look at me. I reached in my pocket. I had a dollar bill. That's all I had on me at the time. I said, I got a dollar. That's all I got. She grabbed it. She goes, you got anything else? I said, I got some gold in my teeth. I said, no, that's all I got. Okay, fine. Got up and walked out. Say, well, boy, I bet you didn't appreciate that. Well, I didn't give it to them to get appreciation. Don't join the crowd, folks. You hear me? Don't join the crowd. Thankfulness is a test of your character, your appreciation for what God's done. Quickly, here's the remedy, though. Watch this. Verse 15, notice this. The man who gets healed and turns when he saw that he was healed. The remedy to lack of thankfulness is, look, all right, here we go. Pay attention. Pay attention. Isn't that what your wife keeps telling you? Pay attention. Isn't that how it works? You swing your leg over the side of the bed, you're ready to get up. I used to just get out, bounce out of bed. I mean, jump up and go. I don't do that anymore. I have run into the wall so many times. Hey, go. Oh, where did that come from? Truth is, honestly, God is my judge. I make it a regular part of my morning and my day to start off by being sure I thank God for his goodness. And you can't tell me you can't think of anything? How about a list? Not going to take the list because it's 12:03 and you got to be out of here in 5 minutes. The truth of the matter is, how about a list? Do you have to make a list? A list of Thanksgiving. Well, I guess that's okay. Can't you come up with like 152,000 things you're thankful for? Aren't you just thankful for his grace, his mercy, his goodness? Choir sang it this morning. I love that song. Choir sang that, oh, what a wonderful God. Aren't you thankful for a wonderful God? But our problem, part of our problem is we don't take the time to pay attention to anything. Hey, look, we can't get out of our phone long enough just to pay attention to the fact that God's creation is around us. That we pay attention. When he saw, he paid attention. Whoa! He turned around and he goes, whoa, look at this. And he thought, Jesus did that. It started his path to true gratitude in his life. You can be thankful for ramen. 8 cents a package. It's good stuff. Cold day. Ramen and Cheez-Its. Oh, yeah. Cheez-Its go with anything. Watermelon, anything. You give me a bowl of hot, steamy ramen. Get the noodles out of there and just start dumping Cheez-Its in that juice and eat it. See, well, it's kind of salty. Yes, I know. You're the salt of the earth. I think it says in the Bible. Truth is, you can find reason to be thankful. A couple of Filipino preachers came to America several years back and they were taken out to dinner in a restaurant here in America. And they sat down. These guys pastor churches out in the jungles of the Philippines. Very raw, very poor. And the waitress came with the water, and then she brought bread in a basket, you know, little rolls and stuff. And everybody reached over and got a roll, put some butter on. They were munching on the rolls and that sort of thing. And after a minute, the waitress came over and she said, now, what would you like to eat? And one of the Filipino preachers turned to the American preacher and he goes, I thought that was dinner. See, oh, that's a nice story, Pastor Johnson. Look at me, people. We don't pay attention. You understand? The world could live off your garbage for a month. Hello? Don't you see? When he saw, yeah, that just, we need to get our eyes open and look around and see the goodness of God. Yeah, we got circles where people can't get out of them, and we got too much traffic, and we got this stuff, and we got politics. Thank God most of that's over with. It's never going to be over with. And that stuff going, yeah, okay, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We always find the fault and not the blessing. Pay attention. Look around. See what God is doing in your life. I'm sorry, but God's people should just flow with thanksgiving when they pick up the Word of God, just to hold a Bible in your hand. Man. Number two is leave the crowd. We complain too much. We become one of the unthankful crowd. We make deliberate effort to be thankful, or we make a deliberate effort to complain. Maybe you should have a no whining zone for a while. No more whining. We go by the circle by Costco, and they're putting 44 businesses over there to make it more congested than it are. I got to leave that alone. The truth of the matter is, what idiot downtown? If you got like a guy with no brain designing things, and that's the way we're going to do now, say, well, they'll put another circle in. That'll fix the problems. It's unbelievable. Boy, isn't there reason to complain? Oh, yeah. Now, don't worry. Don't get hyper-spiritual where you go out in the parking lot, and you go, and there you got a flat tire, and you go, well, thank God. Thank God I got a flat tire. It's like those people, you slam your finger in the door, you're going, oh, man. Oh, dumb, dumb. And they go, in everything give thanks. And I say, come over here, I'll slam your head in the door. You can be thankful with me. What do you think about that, huh? I'm not going to let the world dictate to me my thankfulness or my spirit. Verse 15 and 16. Notice what it says. He turned back, he gave glory to God and thanked Jesus. Say it. You know the remedy for thankfulness is? Say it. Say it. Come on, hey, spouses, when was the last time you looked at your spouse and said thank you? Now, I know what will happen. You'll do it today, and your wife will look at you and go, because he said that. If he does, ladies, don't do that. Just take it. It may not come around till the next guy preaches on thankfulness, so just deal with it. Yeah. Say it. Say it. Express it by what you say. First of all, tell him. Tell the God of heaven how thankful you are to be his child, have the Word of God, life, health, strength, all of it. Say it. Tell God, Lord, I thank you today. There's times in my prayer life where I push everything aside and just spend time thanking God. Say it. And say it to each other. See, it's that taking for granted what others do for us that's a part of our ingratitude. Well, they're doing what they're supposed to do. Well, you thankful sucker, you. Yeah, but they did that because you have reason to be thankful for their goodness. Say it. One more thing. Look at verse 17 and 18. We'll finish right here. It's 12:09. I got 2 minutes. Here we go. See, what's 11 after 12? Nothing. I just keep looking at the clock. I told these guys years ago, put the clock up when a guest preacher's preaching. There's a clock up there. I'm a guest preacher. Okay, verse 17 and 18. Quickly now, watch this. And Jesus said, there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Verse 17, about where are the nine? You know what? You know what effects of thanksgiving? Jesus notices it. Hey, look at me. He notices it when we're thankful. They cuss his name by the tens of millions every day. They cuss his name. Something bad happens, act of God. Nobody ever calls a sunrise an act of God. He gets no credit for anything. He gets blamed for everything else. Well, if there's really God in heaven, how come there's all this wickedness in the world? Oh, really, it's his fault. What ignorance of the Bible are you going to display any further than what you already have? God made it perfect, sin ruined it, and God didn't cause that, man did. Come on, get real for a minute. No, you see, if nothing else from us, he should hear us give thanks. And you know what? He notices that. Psalm 22, he says he inhabits the praises of his children. He asked about the nine. Let's be the one. What do you say? He asked about the nine. He says there's not anybody but this one stranger. And he noticed that. Verse 19, look at this last statement. I promise I'm finished. He said this. He told this man look at me. This man's now healed of leprosy. And in verse 19, he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. This guy got a second portion of healing the other nine didn't get. Hey, the ingratitude, just go on. We never hear from those nine lepers again. They're gone in society. Their names, their thoughts, their lives are gone. Here's this one guy. And you know what happens to him? He didn't just get healed physically. God made him complete. There's something that thankfulness completes about you. There's something gratitude fulfills in you. There's something, look at me, there's something about being thankful that makes things right in you. Well, I don't have a lot to be thankful for. Then you need to fix that. And I don't mean change the way things are. I mean, you need to get your thinking right. Yes, you do too have reason to be thankful. Do we not have reason to be thankful, church? Okay, now come on. Let's not make it one time a year that we get concerned about our gratitude. Let's realize there's something incomplete about us until we are gracious and grateful for what God's done. Because God has been good. And God is good. And God will be good. Sorry to all my Republican brothers out there, but frankly, Donald Trump is not the second coming of Jesus Christ. We've had a bunch of nuts in the White House. One guy didn't even know he was there for 4 years. The truth of the matter is, now watch, I'm not going to get all worked up about who's in the White House or who's not, who's got Congress and who doesn't and who does this. And who. I'll tell you what I'm going to get worked up about. My God is still on the throne. Hey, God is still on the throne. God is still in charge of this universe. He puts the sun out in the morning, puts the moon out at night. He spins the stars to their courses, puts the planets in their places. By him all things consist. Something makes you whole, complete, when it comes to your gratitude. This man left not just healed, but whole in his life. You're missing something now. Being one of them pinch-faced Baptists who goes around all the time griping about whatever isn't. There's something about it. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Years back in one of our previous buildings, I was going to the paint store on one of our projects, and we've been going at it for 100 hours a week for months. I was burnt. I'm going to the paint store to get a couple fives of paint, and I walk in there about 6 o'clock in the morning, and there's this man standing there, old man my age now. He had his painting outfit on, painting overalls, you know. He even had a little bow tie. And he has little earphone things going. You could hear, "Do Lord, oh, do Lord, oh, do remember me, do Lord." He was just having a wonderful morning, 6 o'clock. I'm standing there holding two five-gallons of paint thinking, "I don't know if I can get this to the car. I'm so tired." And then he looks at me and he goes, "Why don't you go ahead of me, sir? You look like you're on your mission to do something." I said, "Yeah, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it." And I went up there, put my paint on, and he just stood there having a wonderful, letting everybody go in front of him. I thought, God, I wonder if anybody ever killed someone with one of them wooden paint sticks. This guy's getting on my nerves. I left grouchy. He left happy.